walking in the Spirit. And now Paul gets super practical and talks about what it means to be spiritual here in Galatians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, we'll look at the first five verses. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." So he shares with us here, ye which are spiritual. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that now we would grow through your word, and it would be our desire to be a spiritual Christian, one who is led by, filled with, and walking in your spirit. I pray that your will would be done through your powerful word in our hearts, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we know who Paul's writing to, brethren. No question, he's writing to Christians here in this passage. And we'll jump down to the "ye which are spiritual" phrase, because that's kind of the heart of our message. And then he gives us how to, I guess, check ourselves, you know, like we talked about at camp. Fruit of the Spirit versus the lust of the flesh, or the works of the flesh. So here he uses this word, spiritual. What does he mean by that? Well, he means one who is being controlled by, led by, walking in the Spirit. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3:1, he had to rebuke the Corinthians because they were the opposite of spiritual. They were carnal. Notice 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," so there's that word spiritual again, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says in Galatians 5:25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now Romans 8:14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8:5, "They that are in the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit." So notice the Bible says we're to be filled. We're to be walking. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. We're to be spiritual. Paul here, as we saw in 1 Corinthians, had to rebuke the Corinthians because they weren't spiritual. They were the opposite. They were carnal, being led by the flesh. As we talked at camp, it's always one or the other. And so now he's going to help us see what that means in a very, very practical way here in Galatians 6. So, number one, a spiritual Christian, as it says here, watches out for one another. Notice he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. I've heard it said that the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded. Sometimes you wonder. Most armies, you know, try to help the wounded. But God says, if a man be, in other words, if a brother or sister, he's writing to Christians, be overtaken, if they have fallen or whatever, into a fault, what are we to do? We're to see that, we're to watch out for them, and we're to be a blessing to them. That's all through the Scriptures. But especially 1 Corinthians 12:25, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 12:25, he says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Remember when we looked in chapter 5, verse 13, by love, serve one another. We looked at that in a Sunday morning recently. So the Bible says that we are to be watching out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's one of the earmarks, if you will, of being spiritual. But the second one is verse 1, restore. So our goal is to restore them. To who? To God. Restore them to the Lord. Look at James chapter 5, 19, and we'll see this. James chapter 5, 19. Why does God need a person to be spiritual to do these things? Because, as we'll see, if they aren't spiritual, they're not going to be able to accomplish it. Because they're going to be trying to do it in the flesh, and it's going to fail. James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, a lot of people think this is talking about winning the loss, but if you read the context, that's not what it's talking about. First of all, he says, brethren, if any of you do err. So it's saying that you, if you can help restore your brother or sister, you will rescue them from possible death, which is the ultimate chastisement, and you'll hide a multitude of sins. You'll help them, in other words. But now, what does it say? Restore. Convert him. Or that's the same as restore, is that word convert. So God says that we, if we're spiritual, when we are watching out for one another, our goal is to want to restore one another. And then he says in verse 1 of Galatians 6, in the spirit of meekness. Now we just saw in Numbers how Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man on the earth. Jesus himself in Matthew 11 said, lo, I am meek and lowly in heart. So Christ was our example of meekness. And God says that that's the spirit. That's a small s, by the way, not the Holy Spirit, but in the spirit. In other words, we must have a meek spirit if we're going to try to restore a brother or sister who has been overtaken in a fault. And James 3:13, this time, if you turn there, talks about our conversation, which is our behavior, our demeanor, if you will. He says, James 3:13, who's a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So meekness. So that's three things that God says a spiritual Christian does. Watch out for one another, restore in the spirit of meekness. Then what? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself. We all know that self-examination is scriptural. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 says that we're to examine ourselves. So consider ourself, the Bible says. Consider thyself. Make sure that you are where you need to be first, and then reach out and try to help your brother, sister in Christ. If you go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul said that we're constantly be examining ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? In other words, don't forget that you are now the temple of God. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Prove yourself. So considering thyself, making sure that you are where you need to be first, that's what we call self-examination. On down in verse 4, he says, let every man prove his own work. So self-examination. Again, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. So we're told to judge ourselves. That is another sign of spirituality, is self-examination. Constantly examining my heart. Where am I with the Lord? Am I spiritual? Then, verse 2 of Galatians 6. So we're watching out for one another. We're restoring as best we can, in the spirit of meekness, self-examination, verse 2, bearing one another's burdens. When a brother or sister has a burden, it's not just talking about physical, is it? We do our best to try to help them bear it or carry it. God says that is a sign of spirituality. Romans 15:1, turn there. Paul says it in a different way here in Romans. But he says, Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, support the weak, verse 14. So we're bearing one another's burdens. We're self-examining. In the spirit of meekness, we are reaching out and trying to restore those who have fallen. Now, we can't do this, verse 3, without accurate self-perception. And this is the big one. Because we all are weak here and have a perception of ourselves that we're better than we are. That's a fault of humanity, isn't it? And God says, don't deceive yourself. If you think yourself to be something when you're nothing, well, we're all nothing outside of Christ. So don't start thinking you're something special. God says in Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. So an accurate self-perception. Romans 12:3 is another verse if you want to turn there on this. In other words, this is according to God's word, one of the earmarks of being spiritual is having an accurate self-perception. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Always examining myself, always in light of God's word, the mirror of God's word, James chapter 1, having an accurate self-perception of me. And he says in verse 4, and not in another, at the end of the verse. In other words, there's no comparing. There's no blaming. There is only self-examination, and then in a loving way, trying to help those that have fallen. Because he says in verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. That's called accountability. Amen? If you look at 1 Corinthians 3:8, he talks a bit about this accountability that we all have. Because we know we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're not going to be accountable for anyone but ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3:8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Accountability. We're accountable to God, and we will give account for our stewardship, as we're told in the Scriptures. So Paul here helping us understand, ye which are spiritual, you're watching out for one another, you're trying to restore those that have fallen in the spirit of meekness, you're considering yourself in light of Scripture, with self-perception, self-examination, while helping and bearing one another's burdens and understanding that you're always accountable for your own behavior. And he's just going to carry on later on in the chapter with more of this very practical spirituality. If you all remember, chapter 5 was all about walking in the Spirit. When he tells us the very common Bible theme, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can reap to the flesh, we can reap to the Spirit, but not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So ye which are spiritual. What a blessing. Lord, thank you for your word and for speaking to us from it. We love you so much. And we pray, Lord, that that would be our goal, that we would strive to be led by, to be filled with, to be walking in the Spirit of God which indwells us. Thank you for your word, and we love you in Jesus' name.